Yesterday, Lompa was talking about the jetasika, the mental factors. What arrives? We have to get to know the mind that moves. We have to get to know the mind that leaves an object and goes to think, or comes in to focus on an object. That will be what makes the mind have samadhi, when the mind moves and we know that it has moved. The mind that moves is the mind that is busy, and every time we know when the mind has gotten busy, then the mind will become the stable observer. So there are two tools we have to learn, which are mindfulness and samadhi. So when the mind moves and gets busy, we know so, then we are able to achieve samadhi. So we have to have the mindfulness, which means recollection of what the body and the mind are doing, and seeing them as they really are. If we have mindfulness and samadhi, that has power to it, has stability. If we keep practicing, the mind will gain more power. Each time we notice that the mind moves again and again, the mind will have the stable quality just for a moment at a time, again and again and again. So the mind will move and we know it. The mind moves again and we know it again. We moves and we know it again. The mind will become stable. And then if the mind becomes still, then we know the mind that is still. He once, Lompa was at a temple as a layperson long ago. He saw worry arise, and he had mindfulness. The mindfulness saw the worry, and the worry disappeared, and then the whole world disappeared. When he asked his master said that his mind entered deep meditation. He said, but I wasn't practicing meditation. He said, when we practice watching the mind, sometimes the mind will enter deep meditation by itself. And samatha will happen, the peaceful meditation. So let's get to know the behavior of the mind. Sometimes the mind, we pick an object for the mind, and then the mind moves out to think, we know so. The mind moves in to focus on the object, we know so. We will gain stability of mind and mental power. Keep practicing, and the mind will come to a calmness or a rest in meditation all on its own from time to time. When we have mindfulness and samadhi, it is time to walk the path of wisdom. If the mind is practicing wisdom, but never moves in by itself to practice meditation, then we have to take it there and we have to gently force it to practice meditation. If we practice wisdom all the time, we won't have enough power or sharpness for true wisdom practice. In the end, the mind will be too busy, too scattered. After a while of wisdom practice, the mind gets too busy, so we have to practice some rest, some peaceful meditation. The way to do this is pick an object that is appropriate for you, whatever object makes you feel happy and is an object that is moral or wholesome, doesn't tempt defilements to arise. Like, for example, the breath. We can pick the breath. The breath doesn't create more defilements of mind. So we could, for example, watch the breath and notice the breath in a relaxed way. The mind will get more subtle and calm. The breath will get more and more subtle until the breath is very short and shallow, until it disappears and all that's left is light. When we become an expert at this, we're able to control this light to make it very big, very small, expand it, shrink it. We can shrink it to such a small, fine point that's very, very bright, or expand this light to be as big as the universe. And then joy and rapture arise. The mind becomes interested in the light. And then, very concentrated on the light, we arrive at the first level of jhana, which is deep meditation. And then when the directing the mind towards the light has disappeared, we arrive at the second jhana, or deep meditation. And then the rapture disappears, the happiness starts to disappear, and we arrive at just equanimity at the fourth jhana. From the second jhana upwards, the mind isn't moving towards the light. There is a oneness of mind. There can be joy, and then we see the joy, and the joy disappears. There's happiness, see the happiness disappears, and all that's left is equanimity. Then it's possible we can move from these jhanas, which are called form jhanas, into the formless jhanas, where there is no form, no body. So we need mindfulness, and then we need samadhi, which we can call momentary samadhi, where we notice the mind move off to think again and again. And we get a moment of samadhi each time. Arriving at jhana, or deep meditation like that, is very, very difficult for most of us. Some people can choose an object of meditation like Budo. Some people, but they never arrive at jhana. Some people discriminate the body, never arrive at jhana. Some objects don't lead us to jhana, some do. Ones that do could be practicing metta or loving kindness practice, or watching the breath, for example. So, when we practice jhana, then we're able to sustain the stability, the stable mind. But a real expert is able to switch back and forth at will between samatha and correct samadhi, or between a calmness meditation and then becoming the stable observer, which is ready to practice wisdom. Being skilled at both these types of samadhi. When we practice calmness meditation, lots of interesting phenomena can happen. And if we become skilled at this, we'll know that these things aren't wisdom. So let's instead get very familiar with the mind that is busy, or the mind that leaves a meditation object. We notice the mind leave again and again. And then we'll get to see when the mind moves out and we see it, that's one type of samadhi. And then when the mind decides to stay with the object in a relaxed and calm way, that's another type of samadhi, the type for a rest. So we can choose the object of Budo. We can choose the body, discriminating the body, noticing its impermanence or non-self. Those are examples of meditation objects. Then there's another type of meditation object using emptiness as an object, where we can notice space or quiet, and our mind becomes interested in that. And then we can move into jhana from there, a type of samatha. Another type is keeping attention with the stable observer once we arrive at the stable observer. And then we can enter into another high level of jhana. The highest level of jhana is called neither perception nor not perception. If we die and rest in that level of jhana, then we end up being a deity for many, many universes, an uncountable amount of time. And that is certainly a waste of time to be stuck there for a long time and not practice wisdom. So the secret to practicing calmness meditation is direct the mind at an object that makes us feel happy and relaxed. Longpa, he liked the breath ever since he was a kid, so he could easily become peaceful by directing his mind to the breath in a relaxed and comfortable way. So practicing vipassana, the path of wisdom, we need to be noticing rupa and nama, or the body and mind. We have to be noticing the body and mind, but not just holding our attention at the body and mind, like watching the foot moving. That's just samatha. Or watching the breath and keeping our attention on the breath. That's just samatha. So watching the body and mind can be samatha, or it could be vipassana. But if it's something that results from thinking, like contemplating aspects of the body or using a mantra, then that's only going to be samatha. If we hold our attention at those things, it won't arise, vipassana won't arise. So let's get to know the body and mind. And what is our tool for knowing the body and mind? Mindfulness, sati. Sati is our tool. We have so if we're going to practice mindfulness with the in and out breath, then we have mindfulness for every in and out breath. We have mindfulness. Knowing the body means that we notice the body moving, which it's moving all the time. For example, the body is breathing, the heart is beating. We're able to noticing things, our arms are moving, shaking, scratching, that we are aware. Whatever the body does, we are mindful, or we are aware of what it does. So we don't push. We don't push or press an object when we meet it. When we have mindfulness of something, we just know it. We don't push it or squeeze it. We just know. That's the only word we need. So if we're being mindful of the body, we notice the body moving, the body still, the body standing, sitting, moving. And this is actually seeing it do this, not thinking about it. True vipassana isn't thinking, it is seeing. There is a direct perception and identifying exactly what phenomena are directly without having to explain or have thoughts about it. Most of our perception deeply is incorrect. If we are not enlightened beings, then our sanya or our perception is off, is wrong. For example, we believe in our perception that there is really a me, We believe that things that aren't truly beautiful are beautiful things. These are examples of things we believe that aren't actually true. It means we have wrong sanya. We're not seeing or perceiving things correctly as they really are. In order to see things correctly, we need to have correct samadhi, the stable observer. And it sees mental and physical phenomena like greed, anger, and delusion. It will see the true characteristics of these things. It'll see that they are impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Wisdom will arise. Let's listen to the gong. So we have to keep listening. What I'm teaching is not easy. You have to listen again and again, and you start to understand a little bit more. The teachings are very profound. The Buddha taught so many things. Longpa just teaches us what can get us practicing the Dhamma. He talks about not so many things. He wants us to understand these things so we can start practicing correctly. Get to know, get to practice as he's watching and as he's teaching. And we'll see that sati or mindfulness will arise on its own eventually, and samadhi will arise on its own eventually too, automatically. So it's a phony or fake practice if we're trying to hold our mind in a stable observer position. Just be a normal and natural mind. The human already has a high quality mind when it's in its natural state. So let's let it just be normal and natural, and then know and see what the mind is doing. We shouldn't try to make our mind into a different mind, like a still deity's mind, or into a ghost's mind either. We don't want a ghost's mind. So do we all know the mind that wanders off? Do we know the mind that knows or is aware? Which one happens more often? The mind that is lost happens more often. We just have to be careful of this mind that wanders off, because it'll always go to our old home, is what the elders say, meaning going to perhaps not nice places. So whatever phenomenon is clear, mindfulness will know that one, and we don't have to intend to see it. Mindfulness will get to see it on its own. For example, if Longpa says, try to notice anger because you tend to be a person who angers easily. If we're just sitting there going, when's the anger going to arise? When's the anger going to arise? Then the anger won't arise. It's not natural. We have to let it be natural. And the mind will get angry on itself, and then we see that it has. If we're watching the body, then we'll be able to notice the body in real time, right now. But if we're noticing the mind or emotions, we have to let them arise first, and then we notice them after they have arisen. Right? So when the mind is busy, the mind is sad, first we let it get busy, we let it get sad, we let it get angry, and then we recollect that this just happened. These things will arise in our heart because the mind is used to having these things arise. They come out of habit. The mind has a habit of having defilements or impurities, so they will come up. But let's add the habit of being the knower. If we continue to see the mind moving off again and again, the mind will gain the habit of being the knower. And once the mind is the knower, it will see all phenomena coming and going. Seeing the mind moving, and we know it, moving, and then we know it, we can use this for our wisdom practice. We'll see that the mind is, one moment is the knower, one moment it is lost. We'll see again and again and again. Wisdom will arise and see that the mind that is the knower is impermanent and uncontrollable, and the mind that is lost in thought is impermanent and uncontrollable. We'll see that there is no mind that is us. So whoever angers easily, use anger as an object. You'll be able to see that anger is impermanent. You'll see that anger arises all on its own. We intend not to be angry, but we're angry. That means that the mind is not us, that it's not under anyone's control. The mind will become the knower when it's aware of the anger, and when we get familiar with doing this often, we'll see that the knower comes sometimes, doesn't come other times. We can't control it either, and it is impermanent too. And then one day we will see the noble truths, see the truth of suffering and the cause of suffering, desire. We'll see the cessation of suffering, nirvana, and the path leading to the end of suffering. So let's practice to have the mind have power. Let's practice to have the mind have mindfulness. Let's practice to have the mind have samadhi in such a way that it's such an expert at it that it happens automatically. The mind is used to noticing the mind move out. So it becomes the watcher or the knower all by itself. So let's keep practicing and build new, good, wholesome habits. The habit of being aware of this body and this mind. In the end, we will see the mind. As long as we're not over-focusing and just letting the mind be natural and following the natural movement of our mind with mindfulness, we will be on the right track. When the mind is the stable observer or the knower, whatever clear phenomena arises, whether it be of body or mind, is seen, recognized, known all by itself. That's true mindfulness. The mind is the stable knower, seeing phenomena arise and fall, all on its own. Seeing and practicing wisdom, the truth that everything arises and falls. The mind will slowly become to see things correctly as they really are, and our sanya or perception will become correct perception. That which is impermanent, Whatever is impermanent, is it suffering or not suffering? Well, if it's impermanent, it's suffering, it's unsatisfactory. And if it's suffering, if it's unsatisfactory, is it a self? No, it's not a self. We see that the five aggregates are non-self. So you're all listening to Longpa teaching now, hearing the truth that the body and mind, the five aggregates, are impermanent, are unsatisfactory, are non-self. All five aggregates, the form, feelings, perception, formations, and consciousness are all these three characteristics of impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So first we hear it, then we practice on our own and see the truth of it. It's not as hard as we think. If we understand the principles, then it is easy. Some people even enlightened within 7 days. Some people take a day. Some people just hear it once and understand, but that's not us. We need to practice it over and over and over and see it again and again until we accept the truth. The mind is used to seeing things wrongly, so we have to make the right habit so the mind starts to see things correctly. And one day we'll understand the truth. See the mind and body as they actually are. The body moves, breathes, keep being aware. We'll see that it's being oppressed by suffering. Breathing in is suffering, breathing out is suffering. Sitting, we always have to change the position. The breath always has to change from in to out, from out to in. Why do we have to keep moving and shifting this body? Because it's suffering. There's just suffering. The body is just a mass of suffering, a physical mask, not us. The mind is impermanent. One moment it's happy, the next moment it's unhappy. The next moment it's good, it's bad. We can't control it. We can't order it to be the way we want. It isn't a self. We can see clearly the truth of impermanence and non-self when we see the mind. So when enlightenment happens, some people see the mind is suffering. Some people see the body is non-self. Some people see the body is impermanent. We can never choose which piece of wisdom, which angle of wisdom is seen. We can't choose it. No one can order the mind to enlighten. It happens by itself when morality, samadhi, and wisdom have reached their full fruition. So this was a difficult talk. Keep listening to his CDs and MP3s and you'll understand more and more. Sometimes we have to listen to difficult things. If we just listen to A, B, C, D, we'll never really learn anything, will we? Time for breakfast.